Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You heard Mitch's highlight there. Mitch Holthus joining The Drive this afternoon at 4, the voice of the Chiefs. And then, of course, the Chiefs Kingdom Show tonight at 6 right here on 610 Sports Radio. It is time to chat with 610 Sports Radio alum, DA of CBS Sports Radio. You can check out his show via the free Odyssey app. DA, when you saw, I don't know if Chiefs Washington was, on your big TV to start yesterday, but when you saw that halftime score yesterday, what was running through your mind?
It was, here we go again, a sluggish start. Couple of bad interceptions by Mahomes, probably trying to do too much. That pitch toward the end of the second quarter, straight up in the air, looked like a grenade. They pulled a pin on. So it looked kind of ugly. And then, of course, thankfully, second half, cooler heads prevail. Mahomes looks like Mahomes. The offense clicks into gear. And at least for a half, it felt like the old Chiefs again.
It really did, D.A., but, I know a lot of the folks will say, well, it was against the Washington football team. To me, that doesn't matter. You play who's on your schedule, and if you can take some sort of positive away and build on that, then that's maybe the purpose that this game served. Do you buy into it's only the Washington football team, or do you feel like I do, they can build something off of this win?
No, I agree with you, Bob, because I actually think that the Chiefs, their struggles are less about the opponent and more about the Chiefs. The Chiefs' weaponry is obviously so good. Patrick Mahomes is so dynamic that in many ways it's not about the matchups and about the opponent. It's about whether the Chiefs do. So whoever they do it against, that's the rhythm they need to get into, the confidence they need to get into, and the game plan. And I think they've just been missing that consistency. I think in times it's an arrogance of we do what we want to do when we want to do it. And when they haven't been able to do that, they've seemingly turtled a little bit. And, just the fact that yesterday felt like, oh, right, this is the gear the Chiefs can play in, I think goes a long way, because you just want the Chiefs offense, which is inevitably going to, erupt like a volcano, to just have a few quarters of it to feel like it used to feel. And then they'll kind of get back into that rhythm. And so they just needed, the second half of yesterday's game to feel that rhythm again.
Yeah, it was probably the best half of football that they've played collectively, and really the best half of football they probably played offensively. At one point, they converted 8 straight third downs and got what they needed to do, done yesterday. And I think you're right a little bit about the arrogance. They feel what they can do is and they're going to go out there and do it. And Patrick was pretty open with that after the game, where he said, turnovers really don't matter as long as you win the game. I beg to differ on that. I think those turnovers at this point in time with this team do matter. If you're blowing everybody out 31-13 each week, then maybe they don't matter as much. But I think against a better team, if you commit turnovers like they did in the first half, maybe you don't have that opportunity to win in the second half.
Yeah, but it's something we talked about last week, the three of us, and that's the aura of the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs the last 3 years have gotten by in some situations, some games, by almost mentally already breaking the opponent, because you kind of just waited for Mahomes to make the play for the offense to finally break out, and opponents knew it was coming. And then the first, 5 weeks of this season, opponents didn't seem to fear that anymore. That invincibility had worn off. And so those turnovers didn't matter as much, as you allude to. when the opposing team is still waiting, uh-oh, when's it going to happen? And the Chiefs go, it's going to happen, it's just a matter of time. They matter far more now when opposing teams aren't feeling that way. So to cut down to those yesterday, it's a really good step forward. Look, Washington is probably not more than a six-win team this year, but ultimately, again, I don't know if that matters as much as just the Chiefs feeling the way they needed to feel, because they haven't felt that way really most of this season.
DA of CBS Sports Radio joining us, and now suddenly you look at the the West standings and the Chargers reeled back in for the moment. The Raiders get a one game blip from their interim coach, and we'll see if that continues. But the Chargers not only get worked, they got worked by the Ravens pretty good. Now suddenly the Ravens, I'm looking at that team, DA, and going, man, Lamar Jackson's playing confident. That defense looks a lot better. I'm really impressed by where the Ravens are at this point through six.
Totally. Yesterday's win is really impressive from a Ravens standpoint, because it's not just Lamar Jackson. It was the Lamar Jackson show. And I think that's the assumption, that when the Ravens are going to be great, it's going to be because Lamar Jackson's great. They beat a really good Chargers team. Now, granted, it's an early kick for a West Coast team. Maybe that factored into it. But just look at the rushing numbers in that game. The Ravens rushed for 181, and the Chargers ran for 27 yards. So the Ravens did whatever they wanted on the ground. They spread the football around. You know, they had all those injuries in the preseason, and they found these huge holes to run for. Even Le'Veon Bell got to the end zone. The Chargers had nothing, absolutely nothing to respond to, which meant that Herbert was harassed all day long. He's throwing some errant passes, and you know, that was a waxing. So I thought that yesterday's Ravens win said a lot about the fact that they could win without Lamar having a great day, and that's scary.
You know what else is scary, though, DA? As good as they were yesterday, you go back to that Chiefs game, and if they don't have an interception by Mahomes late and a cough-up by CEH, they win that game, and they beat Baltimore. And to me, when I look at the competition out there right now, I'm not scared of a rematch with Baltimore. I'm not scared of a rematch with the Chargers. I don't want to see Buffalo again, I'll tell you that, because they were really the only true team that beat the Chiefs, and they go out there tonight and they play Tennessee. It could be a letdown game for Buffalo coming off that big win.
I'm interested to see that as well. I think the Bills, you know, we had Steve Tasker on the show earlier this week, and I said, you know, what do you think that win over the Chiefs did? And he goes, that's the most important win a franchise can get, because now you have tangible evidence that we're the best team, or we can beat the best team. And he cited a game that his Bills teams played in 1990, a regular season game against the Giants, where they went to the Meadowlands and they won on a really cold, wet, awful day. And it wasn't a pretty game, because, but it didn't matter. We had evidence that we could beat one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. Of course, the Giants go on to get revenge in the Super Bowl. But he said that's what that Bills win over the Chiefs was evidence. We talk about being better. We want to be better. We believe we're better, but we don't have any evidence that we're better. So I'm with you. I'm really interested to see, do the Bills carry that confidence over to tonight and they just start, you know, mauling everybody? Or is it a letdown where, you know, they don't quite understand how to then follow up such an emotional win? But I thought that was really interesting that Tasker said that this week.
And then on the NFC side, I guess I wasn't buying fully the Cardinals. I liked Kyler Murray probably more than you did, Bob, but I wasn't buying that. Mm-hmm. Certainly they would get off to this dominant start, and they kind of dismantled the Browns yesterday. A beat-up Browns, but still dismantled and made them beat up.
I didn't believe in the Cardinals either until yesterday, and it's a shame because, you know, they had just crushed the Rams, and the Rams are clearly one of the best teams in football, and they beat them soundly by 17 points. And then yesterday they go on the road. The Browns are probably not as good as last year. They're banged up. They're dealing with injuries. Baker Mayfield, sore shoulder, all of that. But they worked them. I mean, it wasn't even a contest. I mean, if the Browns don't hit the Hail Mary at the end of the first half, they beat them by 30 points. And that's on the road without your head coach. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury wasn't even on the sidelines yesterday because of COVID. So I wasn't a believer either. I don't know how long you can be great for if you're as small as Kyler Murray and your offense is predicated upon just running away from everybody. But for this moment in time, the Cardinals are legit. They're credible. They're really good. They're confident. And, you know, yesterday I think you saw a little bit of everything. Can run the football, can throw the football, can play defense, get after the passer, win on the road. There's just not a lot of weaknesses on the Cardinals right now.
You know, D.A., the Cleveland Browns have been a team that I've never been a believer and a buyer in. I just don't. I don't believe in Baker necessarily as a leader of that organization. Is yesterday's game now, where they officially turned back into that pumpkin, another injury to Mayfield, Kareem Hunt was hurt, they get blown out. Is that the game where we see the Browns reemerge as the Browns that we all know and love for the last 25 years?
They'll never be that bad because Kevin Stefanski's too good a coach and because the roster's now far better than it ever was. I mean, all of those 0-16s and 2-14s, the Mike Pettins, the Rob Jasinskis, the Hugh Jacksons, I mean, those are Freddie Kitchens. Those are total clowns that are coaching the team. Total bozos. I mean, running the team, no talent, no quarterback. They'll never be that bad again. But yesterday, I think, is a reminder that their supposed path to being much better, greatness, playoff team, etc., is really thin. It's really narrow. And that because the Browns did it once, doesn't automatically mean they'll keep doing it again. And that an injury here, an injury there, a quarterback mistake here or there, like Baker has made, and suddenly a 10-6 season last year, 11-5, I forget which one it was, suddenly could become, you know, 8-9 or 9-8. And that's a big difference in terms of getting to the playoffs or 7-10 or whatever that's going to be. So their margin for error is so much smaller than a really good team that's been there time in, time out. And I thought the Bills could suffer from a step back this year. The evidence now points to the Browns are suffering a setback from last year to this year.
Will Herb get a win in America?
I say yes, because you got to get that first monkey off your back, and Trevor Lawrence can't be that bad for that long, and he's shown some signs. But, God, how bad do the Dolphins have to be to lose to the Jags with Tua back? I mean, the Dolphins were a 10-6 team last season, and now what, they're 1-5, five straight losses or something like that, and they can't even win with Tua on the field? That's about as ugly as it gets.
Well, the Dolphins haven't handled it well. I mean, how do you feel if you're Tua and the rest of that team? All they're talking about is going out and getting the guy who can't stay eligible and play in the league right now because it's off-the-field stuff. If I'm Tua, my head's not there right now either.
Maybe that's true, but I think that's also a referendum on what they think Tua's ceiling is. That just Tua, even though he's young, even though he's still somewhat raw, is never going to be great. And I think that's, to me, that's kind of like the guillotine hanging over the Dolphins, is that they know he'll never be great, that he'll only be maybe good, and good's just not good enough in today's NFL unless everything else goes your way. And, like, I don't know, is Brian Flores a good coach? I thought he was, but man, this year he seems like a bad coach.
Urban Meyer, 1-0 in the UK. DA, thanks, yeah. Thanks again for the time. We'll chat with you next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys. See ya.
DA show you can catch on. Oops,
and gone.
Man, there we go. On the Odyssey app.
Did we both push the button?
I believe
so.
I believe
we did.
I believe we both hit that one. So you can check out the DA show on the Odyssey app. It's always free. Download it where you re-download things, as I like to say, right?
Wherever that may be.
But
right?
You can catch CBS Sports Radio on the Odyssey app, or you can also hear 610 Sports Radio. Herb. What do you have the odds of him winning in America?
Zero.
He's really good. Really, really solid. He rules London.
Did he get to play the Jets?
And
I don't know if they do or not.
And did he fly back with the team?
Did he fly back? Well, he had said on Friday that he is going to fly back from now on with the team.
Oh, wow. Way to
do your job.
Way to go out of the
You know what I'm going to do? What they tell me to do, what I'm supposed to do, that's written in the job description. Oh, okay. Well, in that case.
Nailed it. Tyrann Mathieu goes crazy, and maybe it becomes a Moose moment. Next.
It's time to get ready for the Miami Dolphins.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Tyrann Mathieu goes volcanic yesterday on the Chiefs sideline, and You immediately thought of moose.
I did right away. I thought, like, oh my, we may have our moose moment here. You know, the old legend goes, as it does, is that game four of the ALDS, Mike Moustakas is in the dugout saying, hey, this is not over in the eighth inning. And that's when the Royals went on their rally in the eighth inning against Houston and found a way to come back and win that game and force that game five. And as we know, the rest is history. And everybody points back to that moment with Mike Moustakas in the dugout running up and down screaming, we're not going home. We're not ready. This isn't over yet. And everybody kind of fed into that, bought into that. And that has now lived in Royals lore, I guess you could say, as the moment that turned things around for the team. And everybody in that dugout, Josh, to a man, and we've talked to him about it years later, have said, yeah, Moose doesn't do that, man. I don't know if we win that baseball game or not.
So maybe if Tyrann Mathieu doesn't get frustrated, even though I don't think it was watching it firsthand, I didn't feel like it was completely beneficial to everyone involved. It was one guy just freaking out.
And nobody intervening.
Nobody intervening.
But did anybody intervene with Moose when he was going up and down the dugout screaming and yelling? Like, when somebody's going that way during a game, are you getting involved?
No, I think
probably not,
no,
right?
You just let it cool. You just let it cool down. And so maybe that becomes...
Keep our composure!
Maybe that becomes that moment. Andy Reid on Tyrann Mathieu getting frustrated.
He was upset, yeah, because it wasn't going right, you know. And that's what I'm saying, though. The guys get tired of it. And those leaders, you get tired of it. I mean, it's got to change. And so you need a little bit of that, a little bit of that fire. And then everybody needs to feel it and then go. So, I mean, that's, you know. That's what happened.
That was really real by Andy Reid.
Let it burn, man. Let it burn.
I mean, you know, years before, Andy Reid would probably say, I was focused on the game. I didn't see that. Or, you know, some kind of coach speak that they give you.
But you couldn't help but see this one. Jeez.
But I think Andy Reid is speaking like from a realness. Like, guys are tired of it, right? It's been a very disappointing start to the season. I think if you would have said, yeah, I had the Chiefs 3-3 after the first six, well, you're a liar or an anti-Chiefer. There's just no other way to put it. Nobody would have thought this team would be sitting at 3-3 after their first six games in the way that it's happened, with the defense not playing anywhere near the level of an NFL defense for most of the year. And, you know, the offense turning the ball over, what was uncharacteristically coming into the season, has now become a characteristic of this offense and whatnot. But I think Andy Reid is like, look, guys are tired of it. We haven't played well all season long. And we needed somebody to erupt on the sidelines. I'm mad it didn't happen sooner, probably.
Tyrann Mathieu on his frustrations.
You know, obviously it's high expectations. I feel like, you know, obviously we could be a championship defense. We've been to the championship the last 2 years, and I think it's after a while you know you have to play a certain way. Obviously, anytime it's third and long, you got to get out the football field.
He's still mad about that third and long. I don't blame him.
That was the play, though. When they
third
converted
and
that,
16, they throw a screen pass. It goes for, you know, 16 and
16 and change, right? Yeah, 17 they call it. You know, I just think when you're giving up plays like that, and the season's been the way that it's been for this team on defense, you're going to finally reach your breaking point. And, you know, it's still early in the season. I mean, there's still, 11 games to go this year, right? It's not like this thing is over and, you know, we're at the tail end. And now they're finally realizing that they've not been playing well. It took into week six before somebody finally lost their cool on the sidelines. And as Josh put it, they just kind of let him go and do his thing. But if you're one of the players or a coach or somebody going, all right, man, it's time. Look at what it's cost this guy, right? He's losing his mind out here right now. It's time for all of us to look inside and take it to the next level. And it sure as hell seems like they did, because after that outburst, they didn't allow another point, and they pitched a shutout in the second half.
How did his teammates respond?
I mean, they love it when I go crazy. I don't know why, but they love it. My coaches like it. But I mean, obviously, as a player, you try to grow in this league, and you try to continue to get better and keep a big picture perspective. But, you know, obviously, I felt like we put in a lot of good work this week. And I thought the goal was to hold those guys to 10 points or under. So I think anytime you don't reach your goals, it kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Good.
My teammates like it.
Yeah. Well, no, but I think they need it. They feed off it a little bit. And like I said, they got better once they, you know, saw Tyrann Mathieu kind of lose his mind on the sidelines. And, you know, he says, you know, they've been working hard. It's not that these guys aren't working, right? We hear from Andy Reid every week. They're trying. And when they feel like they put in good work and we're expecting good things, and then they didn't get what they wanted and gave up two big plays? Yeah, because everybody knows, Josh, one play is all it takes to revert back to form, to what they were doing before this Washington game. And nobody wants to go back there. I think the defense has got tired of being called out nationally. I think they've gotten tired of being the butt of the joke and the reason why people are looking at this team and saying maybe they aren't a Super Bowl contender.
If you're looking at the stats, there's a lot of 32s by their name. That's by their numbers.
Correct.
That's embarrassing.
And that's not Tyrann Mathieu number 32. That's 32nd in the league.
Championship defense. That's not a championship defense.
Not at all.
32 and a bunch of statistical categories.
But you know what? All of that's in the past. None of that matters anymore. It matters what you do from here on out. And if that was the moment that the team needed to flip the switch a little bit, then good, man, because I'm looking at the next 11. These six are already done. We can't go back and change history at all, right? But you can move forward and change things and have a better opportunity to get wins and play better for the next 11 games. That's what you have to look at now, not what we've already done, where we are going. And I'll be disappointed, Josh, if we're sitting here next week and talking about another bad defensive performance by this team. I'm hoping that's the moment. This game is the moment where they realize that success and boom, now they take off and take it to the next level. Because if they revert back to where they were for the first 5 weeks of the season, well, then the next 11 games are going to be difficult to watch.
What was it about that third and 16, Tyrann?
It was third and long. I think it doesn't matter what play the coach calls. I think as players, you have to execute. And, you know, obviously you have to have formation recognition. You know, you just have to be, you know, sense of urgency. I felt like that was a play that, you know, the whole defense took off, if that makes sense. But obviously, you know, coach is going to call the game, and as players, we have to make it right.
Yeah, go make a play. That one, they might have been in the wrong play call, but also, you got to make the play.
Got to make the play.
Before 16 yards down the field.
Yeah, somebody's got to make a play. You can't just let the guy get out in space like he did, and just like, as soon as they completed that pass, you're on the sidelines, you have a different vantage point. But well, I'm watching it on TV, Josh. I'm like,
he's not gonna make it. No.
I thought he was gonna make it right away.
Someone's gonna hit him. Someone's gonna hit him, right? Someone's gonna hit him. Nope. No one's gonna hit him.
That's the thought that they need to get out of their minds. Get that thought out of our minds. Let's not think about the negative. Think you're gonna make a play. And it just didn't feel like they were gonna make that play, and then boop, over the top for the touchdown. And Tyrann Mathieu loses his mind, and since that point on, the Chiefs haven't given up a point.
Yeah, and I think those were the two plays defensively of the first half that were bad.
That was it. The whole game, that was it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously they were good in the second half, but yeah. It wasn't like they were getting, you know, gashed out of the normal realm.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
You give up a 15, 20-yard play every once in a while. They got another 22-yarder or something a little bit earlier, but there weren't any, like, huge damaging plays. There were just normal football plays that had happened. Those were only the two bad plays of the entire half, and it could have ripped the whole thing apart.
It really could have, and they did a good job.
Hopefully it galvanized them.
You know, they did a good job against the run, too. I mean, this defense all season long had been giving up well over 5 or 6 yards a carry. They held Washington to under 5 yards per carry. They got after Taylor Heinicke a little bit yesterday. They picked him off. They pressured him a lot yesterday. I thought defensively they played a really nice game, and it's one to build on right now.
Thornhill, the move to Thornhill worked. Mm-hmm. He played well. I thought L'Jarius Sneed was terrific yesterday. There's a lot to build on defensively. Got a little more heat. Didn't get the sacks necessarily, but got a little more pressure on the quarterback. Hopefully that's a sign of some improvement there. You had some players that maybe you hadn't called out. Like, you didn't hear their names.
Like,
actually
Kirk
hear
Orton
their
was not
names
called
a couple of times
this year until yesterday.
Jaron Reed also made an appearance. Frank
guy.
Clark made an appearance. Like, there were spots of names you haven't called enough.
Yeah, some of the high money guys showed up yesterday and played. You mentioned Jaron Reed and Frank Clark. Those guys earned their paycheck yesterday. And now you start to think, okay, let's get Chris Jones back. Let's see what he can do, you know, once he's healthy. And if he's healthy and Frank are healthy at the same time, maybe the defense starts to come into its own and starts producing like we expected them to produce.
Patrick Mahomes says this could be this year's moment. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Second half of yesterday's game looked a little more like, oh, that's the same old Chiefs. You know, a 21-point run and defense figuring things out. Pitching a shutout.
Yeah.
That felt a little, hopefully that gives them a little bit of swagger. They had lost that swagger. The, This team had a kind of invincibility about them. Come to us. Come play us anywhere, anytime kind of mentality that kind of started to soften a little bit. And I thought they might have had a chance to get that back a little bit yesterday because that looked a little more familiar. The second half looked a little more familiar. Man, things weren't going your way, but you weren't out of the ballgame by any means. And then you end up drilling somebody in the second half.
You know, it was so bad at one point, like in the early of the second half, Ian Eagle said this on TV.
This just does not feel like Chiefs football.
It just does not feel like Chiefs football, right? And that's kind of how we all felt. That was right after, I want to say, the interception that looked like Garo Yapremi, and then the Chiefs had a 3rd and 23 where they had the holding, and that backed them up, and then the sack, and so now they're faced with 3rd and 23 with like 12.5 minutes to go, or whatever it is in the third quarter. They didn't convert. They got 5 yards on a little play to Hardman. And
a bad punt?
Yeah.
Right
before the bad punt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that 18-yard punt. And after that 18-yard punt, that's when Ian Eagle said, this does not feel like Chiefs football. And I think at that point in time, everybody kind of agreed, but the defense went out there. They made a stop. They made some conversions on offense on third down. They got the 7-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill at 17-13, and boom, we're off to the races at that point in time. And so everybody was wondering, and it just hasn't felt like what we've been accustomed to. But that second half, man, that's Chiefs football.
Yeah, I told you since I'm in the stadium, I'm not paying as much attention to a reaction, or certainly seeing like a red zone freaking out, or a game at halftime where they go back to the studio and they're going, what the hell's happening with the Chiefs? You know, but I can only imagine what's going on. I'm like, oh yeah, look at the score. We're like, what is going on here?
Right.
This isn't the right score, is it? This isn't what we expected at all. And then second half felt a little more familiar. You had kind of heroic type performances. I think Tyreek Hill coming back from the injury, he did not come out with the team in the second half, and Willis Reed out of the locker room, and then had a huge impact in the second half.
Correct.
You know, Travis Kelce's, I don't know what they're going to list as injuries, probably neck, but there may be something with the hand or arm, or I don't know, the whole left side looked like he was just like, get me out of, like, this clock can't strike zero fast enough. Joe Tooney's got the big cast on his arm. Obviously, the defensive side, you lost Hitchens, but you have the two young linebackers kind of step up. You have Tyrann Mathieu, you know, going ballistic on the sidelines. It looked weird, but then you righted the ship, and they had a little bounce in their step after that game was over.
And I think really what worked in their favor was the offense took advantage of what the defense did. The defense went out there, got stops, the offense capitalized on it. And I thought that was something that this team hasn't done well all season long. They didn't even do it well in the first half of that game, where the defense was going out there and getting stops. You know, they had a great second half, a great team second half, their best half of football since the beginning of the year, and they went out there and they played great in the second half. Carry over effect is going to be the big things. And when the Chiefs started to take advantage of what the defense was doing, that's when it started to look like the Chiefs of old. And that's when you have Ian Eagle say, it doesn't feel like the Chiefs of old.
Oh, yeah.
But when they started to do some of those things, like get a stop, get a score, get a stop, get a score, get a stop, get a score, that's the Chiefs of old. And once they opened that 2-score lead late in the second half, you knew it was off to the races, and they had found their mojo in that game.
Maybe it's a second half turnaround that helps save a season. Patrick Mahomes.
The way we did it, even though it wasn't pretty in the first half, I mean, I feel like kind of hopefully will get us rolling. I mean, we had another bad first half, and it could have spiraled right there. I mean, it could have, how this season's gone, the adversity we dealt with, it could have spiraled. But I thought the guys, it was a lot of mental toughness to go back into battle and to go out there and believe in each other. And the defense, the way they played today, I mean, that offense has been putting up points. I mean, they have some playmakers over there, and for them to hold firm while we were struggling, I mean, that's what it takes in this league. It takes everybody. It's not the offense, not the defense. It's everybody together, coming together at the right time to be great, and that's what we want to be.
Pretty big acknowledgement as well from Patrick Mahomes there.
Yeah.
That maybe breaks them.
Maybe it does.
I think that's a pretty big admission. Everything that they had faced, all the adversity. Maybe that's one you go, we don't pull ourselves up on this one. It's tough sledding, and it would be. I mean, you come out of that game 2-4.
You lost to the Washington football team.
And people are starting to talk about the draft.
Yeah. You know, I'm reading stuff about the Washington football team this morning, talking about how Ron Rivera may need to be fired now because they only expect him to win a few more games to give him 9 wins combined in his first 2 seasons. Even guys before him that weren't any good that lost their jobs had more than 9 wins combined in their first 2 seasons with the Washington football team. So the bloom has fallen off the rose of Ron Rivera really fast in Washington. I think it's a systemic problem in Washington. I don't think it's one coach. They haven't been good for the last 25 years. But those are the games where you have to keep the losing teams losing that we always talk about. You can't afford to lose a game to the likes of the Washington football team. You can't afford to lose this week to Tennessee. We're going to get to see them Monday Night Football, see what they're all about up front and personal with us. You can't afford to lose the game to the Giants. You can't afford to lose a game to the Raiders now. You can't afford to lose a game to the Denver Broncos. You have to keep those losing teams losing and take advantage of those games on your schedule. If they would have lost that game yesterday, you're right, Josh, sitting at 2-4 and a loss to the Washington football team and a couple of bad interceptions by Patrick Mahomes, yeah, people would be talking draft today because 2-4, even with the extra game, that's tough to recover from.
I mean, I think you could still make the case like they can still make the playoffs and all those things that apply last week, but
right.
you would have to be stopping people from fast-forwarding to the end and doomsday.
Sure you would. Sure you would.
For sure.
Yeah, because we like to write the book before, you know, the content takes place, and there's still a lot of content to take place, but at 2-4, it would be tough to write a book that didn't have an ending of, you know, February being kind of boring around here.
So what was the difference in the second half for the coach?
I just think the guys put their mind to it and bared down and, you know, kind of enough's enough. And, you know, there's a point where you have to do that. I thought they did a nice job.
I like when Andy Reid says that, where there was a point where, like, all right, enough is enough. Because I think going into this season, look, the Chiefs were not only buying into the 20-0 narrative, they were feeding the 20-0 narrative, right? They were talking about their expectation of winning every game. And I think maybe they got a little kind of, you know, full of themselves. It happens. How could it not? You go to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years and 3 straight AFC championship games, all of a sudden, that's the expectation. That's what you think is going to happen. Just throw our helmets out there and everything will take care of itself. They got punched in the mouth early this year. They got really, Josh, punched in the mouth from the first minute of the season up until where we are right now. It's been nobody giving up and relenting on the Chiefs just because they're the Kansas City Chiefs. Teams have come in here and fought hard. They've battled hard. They've beaten the Chiefs. They beat them at their own game. They've taken advantage of their opportunities. They didn't create opportunities for the Chiefs to take advantage of it all this year. So I think early on in this season, they just got punched by everybody, and they weren't used to it. And they weren't used to getting punched and getting backed up. And then yesterday, we saw them get punched, and they go, all right, enough of this crap. I'm getting back up, and I'm firing back. And they came back with a vengeance yesterday.
Also, the complimentary football I liked yesterday, and I'm not going to jump to the level of, well, without CEH, maybe. I think every game plan can end up being differently, and maybe CEH is doing the same types of things yesterday. They're running the same types of plays, so I'm not getting it to that maybe extent. But
there are people that want to write him off. I've seen our text line today. I've seen social media like, all right, let's get rid of CEH. I'm not ready to do that.
When CEH comes back, well, he's the starter.
Darrell Williams is really good, and he did everything I expected him to do yesterday.
And maybe
more. CEH is still that guy that you want to count on.
And maybe more, because his numbers still aren't going to be like eye-popping to you, but he was great yesterday.
He was fantastic yesterday.
And I think the Chiefs should have run more yesterday, and the Chiefs should have looked like a game where their offensive line really wanted it to be on the ground. And then Darrell Williams, I mean, downhill, being patient, finding
his blocks.
That little cutback he made to get the touchdown, the short touchdown, it was the second one maybe. Fantastic run. Like, it was just a short, simple run. But also, I want more of that in this Chiefs offense. Like, I know it's been fun to do these goal-to-go passing situations, but I thought Darrell Williams should have 4 touchdowns yesterday because they didn't feed him the ball a couple of other times that they're down near the goal line. Like, enough. Mm-hmm. Just punch it in the end zone. You got this guy that's proven he could do it now. Give him the football, and he becomes the fantasy stealer. You know, they drive it down the field and then Darrell Williams steals the touchdowns. Make him that guy because he looks like he can handle it.
I saw a thing on ESPN midweek last week. You better start Darrell Williams this week in your fantasy leagues because he's going to score some touchdowns. And he did. I mean, that's because he is good from the 10-yard line in. And we talked about that last week. We talked about how good he is from the 10-yard line in. And he was going to get the football. And you've got to give him the opportunity to run from the 10-yard line in. And what did he do yesterday? He converted two more touchdowns in that situation. Every once in a while, Josh, the blind squirrel finds a nut. But I kind of expected that with Darrell Williams this week. This is what you have to do to be successful with Darrell Williams. And it worked. And the Chiefs were able to let it work. And the offensive line yesterday on that touchdown pass that you described was like, at first, it didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. And then Darrell Williams waited for a split second, and all of a sudden the offensive line, everybody kind of turned to their left and created a wall, and he ran right alongside that wall as the left side of the line opened up.
It was like
he
went right into a wave.
Yeah, it was
I don't surf, but it looks like if you hit that perfect wave, it just
kind of carries you in.
It opens up and you just go. That's what it looked like to me. Like
it did.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah.
The wave blows. I'll just follow in behind it and then cruise in for a touchdown. And really, really pretty.
Go back and watch the video of that touchdown run by Darrell Williams. It was the one right before, or right after, I should say, the second half started. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful job by the offensive line. Here's how it sounded with Mitch calling it on the broadcast.
Tight right is Noah Gray. Going to give it off. Darrell Williams cuts it back to the left after starting right into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. The Chiefs get the coveted second half two-possession lead because Darrell Williams, smart and tough, and cutting back to his left.
And that's exactly what happened. He pivoted to the right, saw there was nothing there, saw the line shift and open up, and saw that hole, and the other side of the line kind of opened up a little bit, and boom, he hit that hole and ran right in. It was a beautiful run by Darrell Williams. I just like watching him run the football. It's nothing flashy. It's nothing fancy. You're not going to go out and buy a Darrell Williams jersey because you love the plays that he makes.
I might.
But he's just a solid, old school, hard nose, I got a chip on my shoulder because I didn't get drafted type of guy that's going to go out there and prove it every single day. I was thoroughly impressed with everything he did yesterday.
Andy Reid on the complimentary football.
You saw everybody lift up. I mean, I got it. Probably the best thing was on the interception by Turk. I mean, the whole team ran down there. You know, that's what this is all about. It's an emotional game, and so you've got to play that way. And, you know, things were kind of dead that first half, and there's one way to do it. You got to reach down a little bit and go, and I thought the guys did that.
Yeah, and fed off the defense and all those things. You mentioned the Turk Wharton interception, which was stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, just ball just sticks in his hands, pins it against the helmet, secures it. That's a remarkable interception by Turk Wharton. But yeah, the entire bench is fired up at that point. You get everybody coming together. Like, that was your knockout moment of the game. That's big. And then suddenly you look at the standings. Chiefs are 3-3. Okay, get back to 500. That's awesome. Oh, wait, just a game out of first now? Chargers give one back yesterday. They looked very mortal yesterday, getting thumped by the Ravens. The Raiders, congrats to the Raiders. Go ahead and hire Rich Bisaccia.
Right.
Go ahead and do that. I'm giving you advice. Go ahead and hire that guy. Well, I'm looking for it to backfire because don't hire the interim coach ever.
No.
But ever, I want you guys ever, to do it. I think the Raiders said you found your guy. Sign that guy to the 10-year deal and be done with it.
What interim coach has ever worked?
So sign him to the 10-year deal. Now, make him your coach. Look what he did yesterday for your team, Raiders. Come on.
Come on now.
Shouldn't you want to continue this?
You went up to Denver and beat a good Broncos team.
The Bisaccia train? Ride the Bisaccia train. Hire the interim guy. All right. That's just for the Raiders there. I mean the exact opposite of all that. But anyway, so the Raiders get their one game blip, I think, from the interim coach. We'll see if he carries that momentum. Denver, I told you, was going to lose six in a row.
They've lost three.
They're halfway there. They were a product of a bad schedule early and then tougher games coming up. So they're 3-3. Chiefs 3-3. Raiders and Chargers both 4-2. Okay. Everything's right there.
Everything is right there right now. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, you know, we were talking about it last week, a 3-game lead by the Chargers in the division. Now suddenly is a manageable 2-game lead in the division. I don't expect the Chargers to run the table. You get a win against the Chargers the next time you play them. You essentially pick up two games there. You get back to the kind of, the, you know, that even when it comes to the head-to-head stuff. Now you've got an opportunity to start to close the gap. It's not going to happen overnight. This team is not going to be back in first place by the, you know, by the blink of an eye. But by the time, you know, Thanksgiving rolls around, we're going to start to see this thing start to clean itself out a little bit. And you're going to start to see who the true teams are, the teams that are playing better football as we get later into the year. Sometimes teams do peak early, right? The Chiefs sure as hell didn't peak early in their Super Bowl run. They didn't really peak early this year. They peaked early last year, I think you could say, is when they, you know, they were winning all the games early, then had the one stumble against the Raiders and didn't really stumble until the end of the season when they played nobody against the Chargers, right? Maybe they peaked a little early last year. This team hasn't even come close to peaking on offense yet, and they're putting up all kinds of crazy numbers, Josh. And, you know, they're still not peaking on offense because they're turning the football over. And defensively, they haven't come close to, you know, even a hill, let alone a peak now, right? They're not even in the foothills right now when it comes to defense. So that's a good thing. There's a lot of room to grow and a lot of ways to get better on defense.
That's a step. That's a step. It's amazing, too, to think about. Like, heading into the season, I looked at this Washington game and thought, well, that could be a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a team, despite a losing record, that had a really good defense of young players on the rise and what have you. And then as we got into the last one, you're like, wow, Washington's kind of a mess. The Chiefs want to prove that they're not, and 2-3 teams seemingly heading in opposite directions. And then it turns out, man, that second half may be really, really key.
Maybe. I think it is.
We may look back at this season and go, wow, if they don't overcome, albeit it was a 3-point deficit, but if they looked bad in the first half and they don't overcome that and play either a tight game win or a loss in that scenario, this season may take on a vastly different look. Now you got this wave of a second half that hopefully carries you into some more stuff.
Well, and look, soon. Josh, going into the locker room at a 3-point deficit, with the way that they were playing right now, you're right. It didn't
have the feel of, oh, it'll be fine.
No.
Definitely didn't have the feel of it'll be fine yesterday.
It had the feel of what's going on.
And they made it look like, oh, no, it's fine.
Man, they flipped the switch in the second half and did a great job. Mm. Did an unbelievable job in the second half. Carry this thing forward. Let's go. 20-0.
Andy Reid. Andy Reid's back. The Kool-Aid's been replenished. Andy Reid exclusively today at noon. Kyle Brandt will join Cody and Gold from NFL Network at 12:30. Patrick Mahomes on the drive exclusively today, 2:15. They'll also talk to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs, coming up at 4. And, of course, the Chiefs Kingdom Show tonight at 6 as well. Busy day ahead. Keep it locked right here on 610 Sports Radio. Cody and Gold, come your way next on 610 Sports Radio, the Odyssey app.
I gotta go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, gents.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, gentlemen. Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.